a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where, wait for it, we change the world one Om at a time. This, our third Thursday of the month, as in all third Thursdays of the month, these days, we are graced with the presence of none other than our Dr. Kevin Show astrologer, Rob Stewart. You can find out more about Rob at innercenterastrology.com. That's innercenterastrology.com. Rob comes in, kind of lets us know what's going on in the stars and the skies, and we talk about the influences that it's going to have over the next month on us, which is why we call this segment the Planetary Influences Show on a monthly basis, because that's what it does, is it influences. It creates environments. There are energies that can either be taken advantage of, or worked with, or even avoided. But the energies are there. I always like to think of astrology like one that may think of the weather. If you know it's going to rain, you wear a raincoat. If you know it's going to rain and you don't wear a raincoat, don't complain about getting wet. So astrologically, there are going to be certain energies in the air. Know that they're there, and then you can make a choice of what, if anything, you want to do with them, except give your power away. We don't believe in giving your power away here on the Dr. Kevin Show to anybody or anything. We think that the power is yours. You should hold on to it. And you should take all this information, whether it's from Rob or whether it's if you ever did sessions with me, whether it's with me or whether, I don't care, Indian chief, baker, judge, whatever. We all just give you the information and should be giving you the empowerment push to make the decision based on that information. I also am going to take a second before we actually let Rob start talking, because I can hear him chomping at the bit. That noise in the background is Rob chomping at the bit. Chomp, 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 chomp. To let us know all of the exciting things going on in the skies, which is, if you have your astrology chart, take it out. When he talks about something that's going to be in a certain sign, with your chart in front of you, you're going to know what house that's in. By knowing what house is it in, it's the area that will be most influenced and affected by that particular astrological movement of the planets and the asteroids and the everything in between that we'll be talking about on today's show. So not only is it what is going to be the weather in New England, where Rob and I both live, but the weather where Rob lives sometimes is much different than the weather where I live. We're both in New England, but sometimes I get snow and he gets rain. Sometimes he gets snow and I get rain. And so it makes a difference. Not only what the general weather forecast is going to be in New England, but what part of your New England. And that's what your chart tells you. If you haven't had a good chart done, and that's not, go for whatever freebie you can grab off the internet that you look at and go, well, that's interesting. What the hell does that mean? Go to innercenterastrology.com. Get a real chart reading done. Get a real chart. Have Rob explain those things to you. And the reason that I really recommend that you do that is because once a month, as we're doing Planetary Influences, you can tune into the Dr. Kevin Show. And Rob's going to be telling you what's going on. And if you have a question and you've already met with Rob, you can call in, because this is a live call-in show, 202-570-7057. So you pick up the phone, you dial, you go, hey, Rob, I sat with you last month. And he's going to go, yeah, I don't know who the hell you are. Do you have any people I sit with? No, he's going to say, of course I remember you. So, you know, what does that mean to my chart? Now, he's not going to have your chart memorized, but he'll ask you a couple questions. He'll bring it back. And he'll be able to personalize your advice. And doesn't cost a thing except being available 6 to 7, third Thursday of the month, Eastern Standard Time, and listening to us on OWN Times. Because if you listen to a repeat of the show, you can't call it. I mean, just saying. I'd like to be everywhere and everything all at once moment and have you call in on Saturday for the Thursday before show and have it miraculously travel back through time. But I haven't figured that out yet. Now, Rob may have, and we'll ask him about that in a minute. So again, innercenterastrology.com. Get a chart done with Rob. Tune in on a monthly and get a little astrological tune-up. Get more information to make better decisions because it's there. You don't have to take advantage of it. But ignorance is not bliss. Ignoring it does not make it go away. It's kind of like thinking if you don't open the letter from the IRS that they'll somehow forget they sent you one. Doesn't work that way. Right, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair analogy.
The letter's getting delivered. You don't have to open it, but you still got it. So, anything you would like to add to my super long introduction of you this month? I don't know what got into me.
Yeah, no, I they're great points. You know, the real strength of astrology is when you can compare the transits that are occurring with your own birth chart. And so it's really helpful to have your birth chart accessible, and you can do that at any astrology website. But to get a full reading, it's really helpful to have, you know, speak with an astrologer, and there's a lot of information that can come through, not only for self-inquiry, but just for planning and all sorts of, you know, really, really anything under the sun. It can be really helpful and informative, and it certainly has been in my life. But yeah, there's definitely, a lot of weather to talk about, not good or bad weather, but just weather itself. Should we dive in, Dr. Kevin?
Yeah. So one last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to let you dive in, is, you know, because as we mentioned on this show, I also, you know, like I will do astrology for my clients that are working with me and my spiritual catalyst work. It's not like I'm a stranger to astrology. I think that's a fair statement, right, Roger? Right, Rob? I'm not a stranger to astrology.
Yeah.
But one of the things I tell people, when you get those charts, even the ones that you pay for or the ones that give you a little write-up that's for free on the internet, they're going to give you lots of conflicting information. Because the sun may say, you have a sunny personality. Well, the moon is saying you are dark and reclusive. And you go, well, am I sunny or am I dark and reclusive? Well, that's what you need an astrologer for. Because the astrologer is going to explain that here and there is where you're more likely to have that sunny aspect. And here's where you're going to have the dark and reclusive aspect. And this is how it kind of all meshes. Right, Rob?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
I mean,
Rob?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, you know, contrasts in life, and there's a lot of different aspects within our own self, you know, different parts that we're learning to integrate, and astrology can be really helpful and in that sort of self-awareness and integrating those different aspects of ourselves.
Yeah, because sometimes people will go, well, I went to this website and, you know, and I paid $20 and it wrote up and it was all gobbledygook because it was telling me first, you know, it was telling me one thing and then it told me something exactly opposite. And then it told me something even different beyond that. And, you know, and they just figure if they say enough stuff that, and I'm like, oh God, this is why astrology gets a bad name. Because it is an integrated, synergistic process where a true astrologer is going to guide you through and show you where all of that stuff actually comes together, how it works, what it means to you, and how you can capitalize on it. So I will shut up now and turn the weather forecast to you. Rob, please.
All right. Well,
tell us what's going on in the skies?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Today's March 16th, and you know, there's some interesting things in the sky today, really. We have a Venus squaring Pluto currently, and that can bring up, you know, Venus represents our the things we attract into our lives. It's represents relationships, but also things that we value, and money itself, in fact. And so with Venus squaring Pluto currently, and for the next couple of days, you know, things like purchases or money or relationships, there might be some compulsive buys, or, you know, the types of, you know, money themes showing up, and, you know, should I make the purchase? Should I not? And even relationship challenges and frictions can arise during this period, just to work through and to navigate. And we also have Mercury and the Sun conjunct Neptune. And so, you know, whenever Neptune's involved, it makes things a little bit cloudy. And but also, you know, it's a time when we can really thrive in meditation or creative intuition, you know, the sort of creative juices of the mind, but not so much the intellectual side of the mind, you know, the analytical, the, I guess what they consider the left brain part of the brain. And so, you know, over the past couple of days and the next couple, few days ahead, there certainly can be, you know, a bit wishy-washiness in the thinking, and, you know, a bit difficult to get you know, your organized thoughts together. It's, you know, if you're experiencing that, don't worry about it. It's sort of from the astrology point of view, part of the landscape right now. But we also have this Mercury, Sun, Neptune conjunction squaring Mars and Gemini, which sort of represents, you know, maybe we're all, and I know it's shown up in my life, but a bit scattered in our efforts and our projects. And this is a time where the scattered energy, Mars and Gemini, creates, you know, some challenges to juggle with the mind and choices and getting clear and all that. So this is a time when those sort of themes are in the ethers, I guess you'd say. Do you have anything to add about that, Dr. Kevin?
Yeah, so repeat that first aspect again. Venus is...
Venus squaring Pluto at 29 degrees. Venus is in the last degree of Aries before it enters Taurus.
Okay. So one of the things that struck me is that this is a time where if you are somebody that will do retail therapy or have tendencies to being a shopaholic or, you know, try to buy your way out of depression or frustration, that this is a warning Will Robinson set of aspects going on here. Because you're going to have this scatteredness of energy that's going to be focusing on fog because it's not clear. And it's probably going to be frustrating. And this Venus squaring Pluto is, well, you know, if I can't work on any of the 54 projects I have and they all seem to be stuck and fighting with each other, let's go shopping. And so, I mean, these aspects, when they're all happening very close on, and even in some cases on top of each other, look at where are your weak points, you know, your, so your impulsivity, you may give in to some kind of Venetian impulsivity as an escape from the frustration of the Mars, Mercury, Sun, worldwide wrestling smackdown that they're doing. And that's an easy place to go. And it also, to me, says, you know, you've got it squaring Pluto, planet of transformation and death and rebirth, in the 29th degree of a sign, which, again, talks to me about we may have some not well thought out impulsivity that could actually, might actually, in retrospect, highlight or teach us something in not the most gentlest of ways about our values, our spending habits, or kind of where we want to focus. Again, values. I think of Venus and I think of values to some degree always. But it would be an impetuous time to decide to redo something in your house, and I'll almost guarantee you're going to hate it after it's done. Does that all make sense, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. And, you know, regarding, any certainty, if you make any impulse buys now that you regret it later, you know, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if it's clear, but it, you know, it's just something to be aware of that there's can certainly be impulsivity. And yeah, it's just something to learn through and be mindful of.
Yeah. I guess my feeling of regret is because the impulsivity is being pushed forward by a square energy. So it's not guaranteed you're going to regret it, but I'm pretty sure it's probably going to make you have some second thoughts at least.
It could certainly also be represented by a purchase that you are resistant to do or thinking twice about. And, you know, just the challenge of, you know, is it a purchase I want to go forward with or not, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, but it's a great time to be mindful of spending habits and all that. And even in relationships, you know, how you're navigating your relational life right now.
Yep. Okay. And there is our first break, and we'll be right back with Rob Stewart from InnerCenterAstrology.com.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at iamhungerinamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We are doing our planetary influences. What are the planets doing to us now? So, Rob, we got out the fun of today, of all of this stuff going on. Can you give me an idea of when we're going to clear all of this energy, more or less, and then you can dive into the rest of it?
Right. So in terms of, you know, the current, I guess you'd say, friction between, you know, spending and cloudiness of the mind and all that stuff. I mean, let's see. Yeah, it's looking like by March 20th, so in a few days, 4 days, things will get a bit more clear with regards to, you know, spending, you know, relationships, working through any relational types of things. Things will get more clear in the days ahead.
Okay, so I get off the show tonight. I take a big selection of snacks, a bottle of wine. I head into the bedroom and I hide under the covers and I come out in 4 days. It's all good, right?
No, it's nothing like that. Nothing to worry about.
Take away my ability to buy anything. Okay, right. What else is going on, Rob?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, so we have the sun. The sun is entering Aries. We have spring equinox here coming up on March 21st, and the sun enters Aries on March 20th. And you know, this marks the beginning of the astrological new year. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and when the sun enters Aries in the springtime, that's the start of the astrological new year. And so it's an exciting time. It's a new beginning, a new year ahead. And, you know, it's sort of an initiation, really. Aries is all about, you know, going for it. And it's this energy of being out of the womb, and maybe being a little bit nervous about being out of the womb. But it's time to take action. It's time to begin new things. And these are all themes when the sun enters Aries. And so, you know, some of the themes related to Aries is, you know, giving yourself permission to go for it, to be independent in whatever ways. You know, you can be independent in many ways in life, but it's about a time of like, you know, what is it that you want? And what's the courage you need to take that next step for you in life and whatever way that is? Aries is a energy that's about breaking away from the pack. It's about grabbing the steering wheel in your own life and making sure it's on course. And, you know, Aries is sort of this, self-interest is a part of Aries. And of course, self-interest can have some real negative, manifestations, obviously. But you know, there's times in life where it's helpful to, you know, check in with yourself. What is it that you want? What course do you want to set? And this is the time to do that in the beginning of the astrological new year. So it's the time to, you know, cultivate the assertiveness within each of us, to be direct. And you know, movement is a big thing with Aries, and it's about being bold and acting quickly and assertively and all those things. So yeah, do you have anything to add with the sun moving into Aries, Dr. Kevin?
Well, I just like to remind people here is, you know, every sign has good and bad, meaning it has good traits and then it has challenges or opportunities that it has to face and overcome. But the other thing I always look at signs with is that there is a, what I like to think of as a mature and an immature version of the sun. And the immature Aries energy is the child that throws the temper tantrum because they don't get their way and they're not listening or thinking about the consequence of their actions. They just want to charge forward into it. The mature energy of Aries still wants to charge forward into it, but has learned to take a pause, take a breath, and is quite capable of understanding how their actions may affect others. But they're also, when they're in the mature version, can be outstanding leaders and can inspire and motivate people to be courageous and make change and things like this. So I don't know. Does that all line up when I say it that way?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a really good way to describe some of these astrological energies in terms of the mature manifestation and the immature version of the theme. And you know, you can look at astrology in that way, that, hey, this is a great time to step into mature self-action, a mature direct assertion, and to be mindful of any of the immaturity versions of that, you know, self-centeredness or, you know, that type of thing as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you're using a word that I like to pair up that to me really clarifies it is the mature Aries will be assertive. The immature Aries will be aggressive.
Right.
So when you feel like your energy, because you are an Aries or because of where Aries is in your chart, because we all have Aries in our chart somewhere, if you feel yourself getting aggressive, you have to go, you know, I need to take a deep breath. And this is time to step up into my higher version of Aries. And I can still assert myself, but I don't have to do it aggressively. So that was my only other thought.
Right. Right. And, you know, basically wherever Aries is in your chart, the sun is lighting up that part of the chart, and it's a time to really, you know, assert yourself in those ways in a healthy way. And that's going to show up differently for each person. You know, if Aries is in your fourth house, it's related to home or, you know, being brave to explore your own inner emotional life. You know, if it's in the seventh house, it could be related to relationship and partnership. So all those things. But it's a time for new beginnings, a new cycle, in addition to a healthy assertion in that area of life. So on March 21st, we have a new moon in Aries, just as the sun is entering the sign of Aries. And so, you know, the new moon, is a new beginning, and this is the beginning of the astrological year. So this is a double new beginning, I guess you'd say, in terms of the timing. And you know, basically a new moon is a time to set intentions for the next 6 months. And in the sign of Aries, it's again, you know, these same type of themes, you know, assertion, beginning something new, being brave and courageous to take action in some area of life. And so we're really, with this new moon, learning to navigate life by directly engaging with life, you know, taking life head on without hesitation. You know, Aries, the healthy, mature version of Aries is not hesitant. It's not second guessing itself. It's taking things head on and developing the courage and confidence in yourself through doing that. So it's a time to, you know, go forth and, you know, put one step in front of the other, even if you're a bit nervous about it in whatever area of life it is. And, you know, Aries really, you know, another healthy version of Aries is sort of a you know, it's like a little punch in your friend's arm, you know, jokingly little punch, you know, like, hey, let's do this. We got this. You got this. I got this. You know, that's the type of energy, to be bold and daring and to go forth. And so, you know, this new moon squares Mars and Gemini. And so that speaks to some themes that we're all moving through collectively, related to maybe having a number of projects going on or multiple efforts at the same time. And there's a challenge to, you know, how do we unscatter our energies? How do we move forth when there's all these different projects going on? And I want to move forward on all of them, but can't on all of them, or, you know, and so it's a time to really explore your options, take action on the ones that are most aligned, and prioritize. And so, yeah, those are some of the big themes for this new moon and this new cycle that we're entering.
Yeah, I mean, the fire of Aries, that passion, that drive, gets a little diffused if you spread it out over 1,000 candles instead of having one bonfire. And that Mars in Gemini may light 1,000 candles, but they're all hanging out separately, and they don't get the same thing done as one solid big bonfire. I mean, does it make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Mars is in Gemini in the later degrees of Gemini, whereas the Sun is in early parts of Aries. And that's why the Aries Gemini is in square. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense, what you just said.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the caution at this point, and again, it's wherever Aries is, you know, showing up in your own chart, that this is going to be the part of you that's highlighted. But I think that, you know, one of the things here is that, you know, that square is going to have a life cycle because those two planets move at different rates. And so it's not like they're going to always, I mean, it's not like they're going to be squared the whole time the Sun is in Aries. That's not going to happen. And so, you know, you funnily mentioned, or maybe you did it intentionally, Aries in the fourth, which is where I have it, but it is cusping my fifth. So I know I'm going to get a bang. But by the time it hits my fifth, my house of creativity, I suspect it's going to be out of square with Mars because it's 19 degrees Aries, and the square won't last that long.
Right.
So I don't think so. You know, it's an interesting thing, but now is a good time to go. Don't spread myself too thin. Look at all of it, but don't try to light too many candles. Give it a little time, take a little bit of patience, borrow it from one of the other planets, like a cup of sugar, and don't light 1,000 candles to realize with far less energy, you could have lit one bonfire and really got things done if you had just taken a breath. So that would be my advice at this time. And yeah, wherever Aries falls in your life. And
yeah.
And that punch in the arm, the only thing I could think of is an immature punch in the arm is the one that gets you hauled out by the police because you should have said to your friend, no, we shouldn't do it. And the mature punch in the arm is the start the business that then ends up selling and making you a millionaire. So just so, again, you can see there's two different arms and two different punches, right?
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
So go ahead. Keep on going.
Yeah. Well, cool. So yeah. So, Mercury's entering Aries on March 19th. So just before the Sun enters Aries, And, you know, so it continues this sort of Aries thing, but in the realm of Mercury. Mercury, the planet, rules our thinking, it rules our perception and conversations and communications and things. And so, obviously it continues these sort of assertive, you know, learning healthy versions of assertion. And the ways that you really lose your way with Aries, I would say, is when you get emotionally drained, you could easily respond with anger or defensiveness. And so, or bossiness or being impatient or having confrontations. So, during this over this next month, these are things to be mindful of, of course, you get stretched thin. There can be spouts of anger in yourself or others. And so it's just something that collectively we're moving through and learning through to be mindful of.
Yeah, and one of the things here with this, the Mercury-Sun thing is, I think the greater danger is when it's still in square to Mars, because if the Sun is, so the Mercury is going to be squaring even if it's wide, and, you know, we know that if you have Mercury and Mars close enough to be conjunct, and one squaring Mars, the other one is going to, even if it's too wide for a square, it's still going to get sucked into the square because of the conjunction. Like, it's not going to come out scot-free. Right. Or you may look at that differently than I do, but I mean, would you agree?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think during the square period, you're going to have to be extra careful because, again, you're more likely to get the burnout. You're more likely to get the scattered. You're more likely to get the frustrated. You're more likely to get the angry, where I think when the square passes, there'll be some relaxation of energy that will have it happening a little less, unless something else is going to hit it you haven't told us about, because there's always something else in the sky, as we all know. So I think the bigger risk is at the beginning. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well, be right back as we continue to do planetary influences with Rod Stewart from InnerCenterAstrology.com.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello. Welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're here with Rob Stewart from InnerCenterAstrology.com, Remember, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in if you've got questions about the what's going on in the skies or anything. You can ask us anything you want. We might go, I don't know. Why would you ask me that question? I don't know what the thermodynamic formula is for a spaceship, but, you know, you can ask. And you can ask by calling 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, you know, we were talking about the loosening of the kind of the more what I considered tendency towards angry energy that could happen with that square in Mars to the Sun Mercury as it's moving into Aries. But, you know, the other thing is that Mercury in Aries, you know, we talk about light a fire underneath somebody, and that Mercury in Aries, you just have to be careful that when the Mercury's running around in Aries, you have to look in those areas of your chart and see how it affects you. Because again, the mature Aryan energy, if it's present in Mercury, is going to light a fire underneath somebody and get them up and motivated, inspired, and moved. The immature energy is going to burn their ass. Think that's fair?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I guess, you know, it's a time to pick your battles carefully, you know. Time to be thinking about all that and mindful of it.
Okay, I'm going to shut up, and we're not going to get all the influences covered.
No, we're good.
We're good. Okay, so we're go ahead.
Well,
tap dancing in the sky there, Robbie baby.
Well, cool. So Venus entered Taurus today, actually. And so, you know, with Venus is a planet that we talked about it earlier, but it rules relationships. It rules the things that we value and what we attract in our life, what we're attracted to and what we attract. And so with Venus entering Taurus, it's a time to really, you know, Taurus is about, it's Venus's own sign. Taurus is about what we value, the things that are aligned with our value system. It's about valuing ourselves, valuing others, you know, enjoying the simple pleasures of life. There's a lot of themes related to Taurus, but really, you know, things like physical comforts, nature, even luxurious types of things. These are all sort of themes that can show up in our relationships to explore and navigate. And it's just a time to really kind of align with your value system. You know, are you, you know, in your own work life, are you aligned with your value system at work? Are you charging enough for your services? Are you the relationships, do they echo the values you have in life and the things that you really care about? These are some of the themes when it comes to relationships and that sort of stuff. Do you have any thoughts on Venus and entering Taurus, Dr. Kevin?
Well, you can't, if you're going to talk about Venus and Taurus, you have to always, Venus loves Taurus. She's a happy girl there, isn't she?
Yeah.
And so that Venetian energy is really a great energy for earthiness and sensuality and kind of Venus helps us create a home that feels like home to me. And she helps you kind of discover, and you know, we have the home that we were born with that is the foundational concept we have as home, but we also have the home that evolves from us as we grow and change, and as we go from, you know, being introduced to the idea of home from our parents' perspective and good, bad, or indifferent, because it can be all three at once sometimes. And that with that, but, you know, what happens when we form home with a new person and stuff like this? So when this is in this energy, this can be a very comforting finding your sense of home. And if you look at where Taurus is in your chart and where Venus is going through, it's a place in which you have an ability to, yes, examine your values or to get a sense, but it's also a place where you are more likely to find, you know, your sense of home, your sense of beauty, your sense of those values. That, you know, it's a place where creativity will find its way through in some way, shape, or form. Because Venus in Taurus, she's not only a happy girl, she's not only a sensual girl, she is also quite easy. She quite easily is a very creative girl. Does all that make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah. No, right on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was going to say it's, you know, it's a time where, you know, we can catch ourselves enjoying the finer things of life, you know, like really, you know, whether it's food, you know, food is a big Taurus thing. And so this sort of time where we could certainly be overindulgent in the beautiful things in life and the finer things in life, which is a wonderful thing. And, you know, with anything, it's just about finding the balance.
Yeah, but when I look at where Venus, when I look at like where, when if you look at where Venus is, so to speak, talking to our listeners, and see which houses, because when it's in Taurus, it may all be in one house, but the odds are it's going to transit a couple of houses, because, you know, signs tend to overlap. And, you know, and that itself offers, you know, another reason why just getting something printed off that you may be able to look up and see what all the symbols mean doesn't mean you know what all the symbols mean. But when I look at that and I see where Venus is going to be hanging out, it is also a place where I go, there's a place where I may have a surge in creativity or a need to make shifts or changes because I don't feel in alignment, i.e. internally in home in that area of my life. Because think about it, Rob, we all have, you know, what is our home feeling? Does it feel like home in the business we're in the career we're in? Does it feel like home in the relationship we're in? Does it feel like home? You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, I bring that up, you know, and I look because, you know, Venus is actually on my cusp of my sixth and my seventh house. So I know that this is a good time for me not to only be creative, but to make adjustments where I bring a greater sense of belonging in those areas of my life. Does that make sense when I say it that way? Okay. What else do you have for us? Because I know we're going to be out of time shortly.
Yeah. Well. So we have Mars enters Cancer March 25th, and you know, Mars rules are, you know, the how we take action in life, how we draw upon courage and effort and willpower and all these things. And in the sign of Cancer, you know, we might find ourselves navigating life themes around caretaking or, you know, dedication to family, acting through emotional support or drawing upon emotional support. It's a time where, you know, we're sort of all activated or brought forth and bring forth through compassion and supportive action in some way. And, you know, Mars in Cancer is very security oriented. It's very protective. And, you know, it can, Mars in Cancer can have the sort of turtling up a little bit. You know, we mentioned Venus and Taurus. Venus is very happy in Taurus, but Mars in Cancer, it's a bit murky territory for Mars. Mars likes to move, and Cancer's a bit likes to, you know, it's a bit wishy-washy about things. And so there's this sort of protective emotional energy. And when I think of Mars in Cancer and Mercury in Aries and the Sun in Aries, you know, there's certainly the recipe for, like we talked about earlier, about some confrontations, about, you know, quick tongues and, you know, arguments, potential for arguments, which in our world is no, we're no stranger to, you know, seems like you turn on the TV, there's an argument everywhere to be seen. But this is a time where we can all sort of navigate, and we'll have opportunities to navigate our emotional, you know, how do we take empowered action and be wise and mature with these direct energies that our Aries is bringing up.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because at some point with Mars in Cancer and Venus in Taurus, they must have some aspect dance that they do, or is it just too wide the whole time? Maybe it's too wide because Venus gets into Taurus before Mars gets into Cancer, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a sign to sign, but not a degree to degree. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, that is a perfect reason to go to innercenterastrology.com and book a reading with Rob. And while he's doing your chart, say, what the hell are you guys talking about on the radio show? See? Okay. You know, I do look at the fact that Venus in Taurus and Cancer and Taurus in Cancer are both going to have energies that will end up being home focused or centered to some degree. And that while Mars wants the home to feel secure in ways and in all the ways that makes Mars feel, that makes a Cancer feel secure, and it's going to make energies and actions that way, Venus is going to be there also in the home doing stuff. So I think that, again, there's an underlying, wherever it shows up, there's going to be an underlying push of home in those areas where your Cancer and your Taurus are hanging out. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, right on.
What else do we have? Because we got a full moon here somewhere. We haven't heard about it. We're almost out of time.
That's right. Yes, we got a full moon in Libra, April 6th. And, you know, a full moon in Libra, it really brings in, you know, a moon in Libra, the Sun in Aries. There's a tension between self versus us, you know, relationships versus independence and, you know, those navigating those areas of life. And so, you know, the questions, anytime there's a full moon, it's a time of letting go of what isn't working and continuing on with what is. And so, you know, in the relationships in your life, you know, are you bringing, do you feel nurtured? Are you bringing nurturing to the other person? Is it balanced? Is it harmonious? Is it fair? Are both sides listening to one another and hearing each other out? And, you know, how are your relationships? What needs to change in your relationships if that isn't the case? It's sort of this balancing and energy that relationships will be moving through. And, you know, another theme with Libra is about healthy boundaries. So honoring, you know, healthy boundaries, of course. But it's also about, you know, finding harmony and really listening, seeing things from another perspective. And, you know, I don't know, sort of consideration is a real big theme and word for Libra, you know, being considerate. And justice, equality, all those things will be certainly themes. And those are things to look towards. You know, the other thing, just real quick on this full moon, Mercury will be on the conjunct the north node of the moon during that full moon. And so communication, it's really asking for communication in your relationships and life. And so that's going to be a really big theme, April 6th.
Okay. So, Rob, we'll talk to you again in a month. Remember, as you're sorting this out, you can't have a healthy we if you don't have a healthy me. So they go hand in hand. You got to embrace both when you're in any kind of relationship, friendship, lover relationship, work relationship. Can't have a healthy we if we don't have a healthy me. And the opportunity to explore both is coming up within this next month. Rob, thanks.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.